Let's go to the book of Job. We talked about Job, mentioned Job briefly in our Sunday school lesson, our adult Sunday school lesson. Now we're going to use his life to teach, I think, what will be an important truth and a helpful truth to every single person in the room. Job chapter 1. We'll use this chapter and the next parts of the first and second chapter to introduce to you this remarkable man. Job chapter number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Job chapter 1. Verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now look down, please, at verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job, saying, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's read chapter 2, verse 1. And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need some help, Lord. This life, Lord, to a large extent, is but a veil of tears. And Lord, there is a lot of times that we simply get hurt. We simply get hurt. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand through the Bible and through the example of Brother Job here, why sometimes we hurt and what we need to do about that hurt. And Lord, teach us how to keep, how to stop the hurt of the hurt. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach a message entitled, How to Stop the Hurt of the Hurt. How to Stop the Hurt of the Hurt. I almost named it this, but I was afraid I would be misunderstood. You have to kind of think about it because it's a little bit of a play on words. How to stop the hurt from hurting. How to stop the hurt from hurting. Are you talking about, Brother Jerry, that you're going to teach us this morning how I can take the hurt that is in me and have it stop hurting? No, I'm not going to teach you that. I think that some hurts always will hurt. Are you listening to me? I think some hurts always will hurt. What I mean by how to stop the hurt from hurting, I mean this. How do you stop the hurt that you have from hurting someone else? How to stop the hurt that you have from hurting you? How to stop the hurt that you have from hurting the work of Jesus Christ? Now, folks, on a message like this, you have to be willing to participate. You have to be willing to be helped. You have to at some point ask yourself, do I just like the hurt? Do I just want the hurt? Do I just want to have an excuse for the rest of my life to be bitter? Or do I really want to look at the Word of God and see how I can prevent Satan from using something that God allowed in my life to destroy me and destroy my family and to destroy people around me and destroy the work of God? Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. I'm going to give you five statements in introduction. And all of these five statements are based on the principles that we just read in this story. Number one, these are introductory statements. All hurt is committed by Satan. Did you hear that? All hurt is committed by Satan. It's very interesting when we were reading this that Satan in this story tempted God, tempted the Lord God. He said in verse number 11 of chapter 1, Satan said to God, but put forth thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know what Satan was saying? God, you hurt him. God, let your hand touch him and hurt him. But you see, folks, God never hurts anybody. You see, at first, in verse number 12, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You see, God isn't the one that hurts you. Are you listening to me? God is not the one that hurts you. You see, all hurt is committed by Satan. We see the same thing in the second conversation as Satan converses with the Lord. He tempts the Lord again in verse 4, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. You hurt him, God. You hurt him. You touch him and hurt him, and he'll curse you. And interesting, God's answer in verse 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in whose hand? Thine hand, but save his life. Folks, listen to me. Number one, get this. All hurt is committed by Satan. Number two, watch this. In a Christian's life, all hurt is allowed by God. Now, I'm being very honest with you and very scripturally accurate with you today. God does not commit the hurt, but God sometimes does allow Satan to hurt us. Are you getting this? Now, number three, listen to me. I'll say, well, see, Brother Jerry, it's God's fault. Now, you better listen to the rest of the statements. All hurt is committed by Satan. All hurt is allowed by God. Number three, Satan's goal is for the hurt to cause more hurt. Satan's goal is for the hurt to cause more hurt. Number four, God's goal. You say, why does God allow it? God's goal is for the hurt to become a help. Now, did you get that? You say, Brother Jerry, I don't understand. Why does God allow things? You ever hear somebody say, I know God didn't do it, but God could have stopped it. God sometimes, is in his sovereign knowledge and will, just allows a break in the hedge and allows under his
very specific limitations, Satan to come and touch the life of a Christian.
Okay?
God allows it. But God never does it without a purpose. Now, Satan's purpose is for him to come and to hurt you, and his goal is that that hurt will then cause many, many more hurts. He wants that to have a domino effect in your life. So instead of just having one hurt, we have a multiple of hurts. But that's not God's goal. When God opens the hedge and allows Satan to hurt a Christian, he's doing that because he wants you to take that hurt and turn it into a help. Now listen to number 5. This is our introduction. All hurt is committed by Satan. All hurt is allowed by God. Satan's goal is for the hurt to cause more hurt. God's goal is for the hurt to become a help. Number 5, when I am hurt, I must decide if I'm going to help Satan achieve his goal or help God achieve his goal. When I am hurt, I must decide whether I'm going to help Satan achieve his goal or God to achieve his goal. Now, what was Satan's goal? Satan's goal is the fact that, all right, listen, you know what? I don't understand it. You don't understand it. I don't have the answers. I don't know all the whys. But I know that God is good, and I know that God is wise, and I know according to the Bible that even a man that is upright and moral and has godly integrity, sometimes God opens a hedge and allows Satan to touch their life and to hurt them in a certain area. And in this case, in a multiple of areas. But let me say this. We got to remember, there's two different things going on here. When Satan gets that opportunity, his goal is to hurt you and then to cause you to take that hurt and respond incorrectly to it and thus hurt many, many other people around you and to hurt yourself and to hurt the work of Jesus Christ. That's what Satan wants to see happen with that hurt. But God says this. Listen, I've allowed this for a reason. I never do anything for the sake of watching someone suffer. God's not mean-spirited. God's not bad. God's not evil. If I've allowed this, if he's allowed this, then what he wants you to do is take that hurt, and God can help you to take that hurt and turn it into a way to be a help. Are you listening to me this morning? How do you stop the hurt from hurting? How do you stop the hurt of the hurt, Brother Jerry? Well, I want to give you some points this morning that I hope will help you. I promise you this. I'm looking around and I can just about tell you that any adult in here and most teenagers have in their life already been hurt in some big way in their lives. That's why it's as quiet as it is. Can I share this with you? You're not the only one sitting there at Blessed Hope Baptist Church hurting. I promise you, I'm looking in the eyes of people all over this auditorium, and you know what they're communicating through their eyes to me? I know exactly what you're talking about, Brother Jerry. You know what? Just because you don't know what their hurt is doesn't mean somebody doesn't have one. And I guarantee you, there's people in this room that in the last 2 or 3 or 4 months has hurt like they've never hurt in their life. For whatever reason, God's opened up a little break in the hedge and allowed Satan to come in. And when Satan gets the opportunity, let me tell you something, he'll go as far as God will let him. He'll try to be as destructive as... Listen, young people, Satan's not your friend. The devil's not your friend. You want to go serve the devil? This is what he does when he has the opportunity. Satan's never been kind to anybody. Satan's never been nice to anybody. Satan's never been helpful to anybody. Satan is a destroyer. And every time God just gives him a little opening, let me tell you something, he'll do everything he possibly can for as long as he can until God yanks him back off with the leash. Satan's the destroyer. Satan's the hurter. But God's the healer. You see. Now, when I get hurt, I want you to get this. When I get hurt, I've got to make a decision. I've got to, first of all, let me just give you some things. Number one, I've got to understand the hurt. I've got to understand what's happening in my life. You say, how do I understand this, Brother Jerry? I can't understand it. Yes, you can. I just gave you the 5 points that will help you to understand it. You see, listen to me. All hurt is committed by Satan. All hurt is allowed by God. Satan wants the hurt. The reason he wants to hurt you is because he's in hopes of taking that hurt and multiplying that hurt and causing that hurt to hurt you and others and the cause of Christ and to damage you and to cause you to quit your bus route or quit your Sunday school class or stop going soul winning or stop praying or stop reading your Bible. And it's hurting you and it'll hurt other people. It'll hurt people that you're ministering to. I mean, he wants you to quit the nursing home. He wants you to stop going over there and helping those people, and then they'll be hurt because you let your hurt hurt them. He wants you to say, well, I'm not going soul winning anymore if that's the way God is. Oh, fine. Boy, that's a good way to respond to hurt. So now, not only did that hurt hurt you, but you are partnering with the devil to allow that hurt to hurt that lost person that's not going to have their door knocked on now. You know why? Because you're responding incorrectly to hurt. You're joining with the wrong party in this hurt to achieve the wrong goal. Boy, this is good. You see, now folks, listen to me. I think that I have a right to stand up here and talk about this. You know, I know a little bit about what it is to hurt. And there's a lot of people in this room that's hurt a lot more than I have, but let me just say this. You know what? Every one of us that have had to go down the road of hurt and had to experience some hurt in our life, when that happens, we have to decide what we're going to do with that hurt. We got to decide if we're going to join in and say, okay, Satan, you touched me, you hurt me, and you know what? You want that hurt to hurt me and to hurt other people and to hurt the work of God, and so I'm going to partner with you and see that that happens. Shame on you. Shame on you. And I understand, folks, sometimes we do this not even understanding what we're doing. Sometimes we can do it in innocency. But thank God, every once in a while, a preacher, and God speaks to your pastor's heart, and he's mounting the pulpit this morning, and he's telling you, listen to me, there's a better way to respond to that hurt. I know you're hurting. I don't have an answer for it. I can't make it go away. But you have the power to either take that hurt and make it into a way to help people, or to let that hurt hurt you and hurt everybody else around you and hurt the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So when I get hurt, the first thing I need to do is understand what is happening. Satan did it. God allowed it. Satan wants to multiply it. God wants to make a blessing out of it. Whose side am I going to be on? That is the first step you have to take in understanding a hurt. We have a brother Jerry. Nobody's ever gone through this. Let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now get rid of your martyr syndrome. There have been thousands, tens of thousands of people that have suffered the same thing that you're suffering. There are thousands and tens of thousands of people throughout history, Christian people, that have gone through the exact same thing that you're going through. And you know what? You can find many and many of them that responded right to it, and they turned it into a blessing, and they turned it into a plus in their life, and they used it to help other people. And there's other people that became bitter, and they took that hurt and multiplied that hurt, and they hurt their spouse, and they hurt their children, and they hurt their parents, and they hurt the work of the ministry, and they hurt their church, and they hurt the Lord Jesus Christ. Now get off this thing that you're the only one that's ever done this and no one can understand. There's other people that have gone through it. You just have to decide what you're going to do with that hurt. What you're going to do with that hurt. Number two, how to stop the hurt from hurting, or how to stop the hurt of the hurt from spreading. Number two, listen to me, refuse to blame God for the hurt. Refuse to blame God for the hurt. Job chapter 1 verse 22. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now I am not, listen, when I get hurt, I am not going to blame God. I settled that a long time ago. I am not going to blame God. I'm going to teach you a little something, all right? Very simple. I'm going to teach this to you, all right? I'm going to say this, God is good. I'm going to say, God is good. When I say that, right after I say that, you're going to say, all the time. Ready? God is good.
All the time.
Very good. Boy, let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
Now, I'm going to say, all the time. And then after I say, all the time, you're going to say, God is good. Ready? All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
Now you get that right down in your heart. You settled that today. You put it into this thing. Listen, take God off trial. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good.
See, when things are horrible in your life, he's good. When things are great in your life, he's good. When you're in the valley, he's good. When you're on the mountaintop, he's good. Now just settle it. God's good. Something bad happens, you don't blame him. You know why? Because he's good. God is good. Now listen to me. This may seem like a small point, but some of you just need to settle this thing. Today. Today you need to settle this thing. You need to say, you know what? When hurt comes into my life, I'm not going to blame God. Matter of fact, I'm going to join his side and I'm going to help him accomplish what he's allowed to accomplish and wants to accomplish because he allowed this hurt to come into my life. I'm going to partner with God. I'm not going to partner with the enemy of God and then blame God. That's what Satan does. Satan accuses God. Satan wants to blame God. Satan wants God to look like the bad guy. He's not the bad guy. He's the good guy. God's got the white hat on. Satan's got the black hat on. God blesses. Satan curses. God lifts up. Satan kicks you down. Now listen to me. Number one, I'm going to understand the hurt. I'm going to understand what's going on. Number two, I'm going to refuse to blame God for the hurt. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to spend my life walking around with a bitter heart towards Almighty God, walk around and say, you know what, it's God's fault or God did this or God's not fair. Good night. Listen to me. I ought to clap my hands. I ought to take my shoes off, clap above my head and praise God that God's not fair, because you know what fair would get me? Fair would get me into the lake of fire. If God gave me what I deserved, what I'd be doing is burning this morning. Thank God he's not fair. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God he's good to me. You see. So number one, I'm going to understand the hurt. Now that means, folks, listen to me. I know it's hard to think. You know what? It's all right to mourn. It's all right to respond and to grieve. Because even Job in verse 20, listen, he arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And I understand that sometimes when you initially get hurt, there's this a period of time of confusion and you know what? Grief and hurt. And I know you can get turned upside down by it. But listen, sooner or later, you got to listen to that sweet Holy Spirit, that comforter that God's put inside of you. And he comes along inside you and say, listen to me. I know that you don't understand what's going on. And I know that you don't want to go through this. But listen, God in his wisdom's allowed it. And he wants you to take this hurt and turn it into a help. He wants you to take this hurt and turn it into a ministry. He wants you to take this hurt and use it. He's got something good he's going to let come out of it. But I guarantee you, while the Holy Spirit's telling you on the outside, Satan's whispering your ear on the outside saying, God's not fair. Look at you. You've served God. You've done all of this. And see what God pays. See how God treated you. Listen, it wasn't God. It was him. It was him. Now let me give you number three. You direct your retaliation at the hurter. You direct your retaliation at the hurter. Now if you want to be mad at somebody, don't be mad at God. Remember, all hurt is committed by who? If you want to direct retaliation, retaliate at the hurter. Now let me share something with you. Let me. This will be of help to you. You know, I don't think it's anything wrong with just getting mad at the devil. In fact, I think we probably ought to spend more time mad at the devil than we are. And you know, when you get hurt in your life, instead of getting mad at God, why don't you get mad at the guy who done it? And if you want to seek revenge or retaliation, you turn loose on him. You know what? I just settled this several years ago. I said, you know what, devil? You know what? You want a war? You got a war. You want to hurt? I'm not going to let that hurt make me or cause me to do less for God. I'm going to cause that hurt to be the motivation that makes me do more for God. See, the very thing in your life that Satan wants to bring in to cause you to go soul winning less, you can turn around and make it the motivation to go soul winning more. I mean, listen to me. If God's going to hurt and bring hurt into your life, I'm sorry, if the Satan's going to bring hurt into your life, then let me tell you this. If you're going to retaliate or you want to get angry, somebody get angry at the devil. Let me give you a perfect illustration of this, and we use it a lot, but Dr. Lee Robertson and his dear wife had a little baby girl, and then in just a short time after that, buried that little baby girl. Some of you in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. You have been there. And I imagine that the devil was sitting right on Dr. Lee Robertson's shoulder, and he was saying this. He was saying, see, you could have had a good job, but you turned a good job down to be a preacher.
You about starved as you went through Bible college preparing for the ministry. Finally, you're preaching and doing the best you can, spending time away from your wife and family, going out and trying to heal the hurts of others. And this is what God does for you. This is how God pays you back. You don't think he wasn't hurting? You don't think his wife wasn't hurting? Sure, they were hurting. But you know what? Lee Robertson could have listened to the devil sitting on his shoulder whispering in his ear. He could listen to the Holy Spirit that's inside of him saying, listen, God put me here for times like this. I'm that sweet comforter, that sweet paraclete that comes alongside during times like this, and I'm here to teach you something. This hurt is not here for you to take and hurt other people with. This hurt is not here so that you'll do less for God. This hurt is to help you and to teach you to do more for God than you've ever done before. Now, if you want to, you can let this hurt of losing this little girl make you bitter, or you could let it make you better. You can let it cause you to do less for Christ, or you can have it be the motivating factor that causes you to do more for Jesus Christ. Dr. Lee Robertson and his wife, shortly after they laid their little baby into the ground and laid it to rest, went home and organized and started Camp Joy. That little girl's name was Joy, and they started Camp Joy. And folks, throughout the years since that little girl has been laid to rest, literally tens of thousands of young people have gone free every summer to a church camp down in the Chattanooga area. And literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he said, I am not going to let this tragedy, my hurt, spill over into hurting a bunch of other people. I'm going to take this hurt and use it as a motivation to help a bunch of other people. So you've got to decide. Listen, you want to say, Brother Jerry, I'm mad. Good. You take all that anger and turn it loose on the devil. I want revenge. Well, he's the one that done it to you. Then get revenge on him. But you don't get revenge on the devil by quitting a ministry. You don't get revenge on the devil by stop coming to church and being hit missing your church services. You don't get revenge on the devil by stop reading the Bible. You don't get revenge on the devil by stopping to pray and trusting God. You get revenge on the devil when you back up and you, sure, okay, circle the wagons, regroup, tend to the wounded. But bless God, while you're doing that, somebody in the middle be scratching on the ground a battle plan. Let's get that guy. Let's get back at that guy. We're not going to let him have his way in our life. He's not going to win this thing. With God's help, we're going to win this thing. And what could be a negative can be turned into a positive. Number four, let me say this. Say, Brother Jerry, how do you stop the hurt of the hurt? You understand the hurt. You refuse to blame God for the hurt. You direct retaliation at the hurter. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, I'm going to tell you this is true. I have had different instances happen in my life where I know God opened the hedge and allowed Satan to reach in and touch me. And I'm telling you what, if you go visit those spots in my life, you will find that somewhere shortly after that happened, I have unleashed upon the kingdom of hell an attack like you wouldn't believe. I am not going to let the devil... Listen, the devil's trying to get me to blame God for what he did and retaliate against God for what he did. And let me tell you something. I know who did it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And my reaction, I don't do everything right. And maybe it took me a while to figure out what I ought to do. But I'm going to tell you something. After I got through the initial hurt, what I said was, all right, smutty face, you want a war? You got a war. You think this is going to make me back up? It's not. It's going to make me speed up. And I'm going to let God take this instead of it being something that causes me to do less for Christ. I'm going to let it motivate me to do more for Christ than I've ever done before. You see. Now, number four. We said, number one, understand the hurt. Number two, refuse to blame God for the hurt. Number three, direct retaliation at the hurter, which is Satan. It's not a person. It's not a family member. It's not the person that you even think is responsible for hurting you. It's the devil. Get mad at him. Number four, care for others who are hurt by the hurt. Care for others that are hurt by the hurt. Let me show you something in chapter 2, verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? Can I say this? I don't know. Because the Bible doesn't tell us.
what Mrs. Job did after Job ministered to her there in that verse, but I know this. When it was all over, she was still there. Here's what we think. And folks, listen to me. I understand. You say, but Brother Jerry, it's my hurt. I know it's your hurt. But I promise you, whatever hurts you, hurts somebody else. Now, I decided a long time ago, listen, I can sit here and feel sorry for myself, or I can realize I'm not the only one that got hit by this. And bless God, I got to be strong for people around me. I mean, I know it's tempting just to curl up somewhere in a fetal position and just have an old... And if you need to do that for a while, then do it. But then get up and brush yourself off and say, listen, I wasn't the only one that caught some shrapnel. There's other people that's got wounded by this thing. And what I've got to do is I've got to forget about my hurt, and I've got to look around at other people that are hurting, and I'm going to start putting my energies in a positive way to try to help somebody else. And Job was hurting, but his wife was hurting. Job took some time to minister to his wife and to teach his wife some things about what was happening and explain to her what was happening and help her to see what he'd already could see, that this was not, listen, this wasn't a physical war, this was a spiritual war. God and Satan was having a tug of war match over Job's future and Job's life and Job's testimony. And you know what? Job had to decide and his wife had to decide whether he's going to go down the end of the rope and help Satan pull on that, or go down the end of the rope and help God pull on it. Are you listening? Number five, let me give you this. Determine not to allow your hurt to hurt others. Determine not to allow your hurt to hurt others. Determine not to allow your hurt to hurt others. If you were going soul winning before the hurt came, you should go soul winning after the hurt came. Matter of fact, if you weren't going soul winning before the hurt came, you ought to start going soul winning after the hurt came. Don't do less, do more. Well, I don't think I should teach my Sunday school class anymore. No, you should teach your Sunday school class. Matter of fact, God, if you'll let Him, will teach you some things because of the hurt that you'll be able to share with those kids that you'll never be able to share with them before you went through the hurt. See, when I go through hurts, I got to stop and say, this isn't just about me. This is Satan trying to keep me from helping other people. Now, if I back up in my service to God, then I've allowed the hurt that I'm feeling to spill over and hurting other people, because the people that I was helping, the people I was ministering to, all of a sudden they're not getting that. You know why? Because I've turned around and focused here instead of focused there. Now listen to me. Don't let the hurt spill over on hurting others. Now, let me just use a few examples. They're sitting all around you, by the way. We could spend the rest of the morning. We go to every pew and find an example. Brother Bud Bovenshin. You imagine, you men that are married, can you imagine losing your wife? Can you even imagine it? Some of you in here have. Can you imagine losing your wife? Can you imagine getting remarried and losing your second wife to death? I'm going through that twice. Can you imagine getting remarried and losing your third wife? Imagine. And when he started dating Sister Tina, we were nervous. Amen. And the only reason I can kid about it is, you know what? It's because he's on the victory side. You say, Brother Jerry, well, Brother Bud don't hurt anymore. Well, you did. Yeah, right. Sure he hurts. He's over it. No, he's not. He never thinks about it. You really believe that? Sister Tina told me that after she got moved into the house and they reorganized the house, they went through all of the closets and things and they got a box for all of three of his previous wives, and all of the things he wanted to keep went in that box. And they put them up on a shelf, and then she turned around and told him, I don't want a box with my stuff on that shelf ever. Now listen to me, folks. Listen to me. We are blessed every week because Brother Bud said, I can take this hurt and I can let it spill over and hurt a bunch of other people, or I can take this hurt and realize God's going to use it to form me to be able to help people like I've never helped him before. And every week we are blessed
by choir specials by a man that has more excuses and had a lot of excuses, a lot of opportunities to want to quit on God or be bitter at God or blame God. There's a boys' Sunday school class, junior high boys' Sunday school class, that's those boys are being taught the Bible. You know why? Because he decided that that hurt wasn't going to stop him. It was going to motivate him. There's some kids over here in the Duggar Lyons area that get picked up on a van. You know why? Because a man who was hurt said, I'm not going to let this hurt others. I'm going to allow God to help me to learn how to turn this hurt into... Are you listening to me? And I'm not taking one man and putting him up on a pedestal. I'm saying that there's Christian examples all around you if you look at them. You don't have to be defeated by the hurt. You don't have to spread the hurt. You don't have to help Satan multiply the hurt. You can get the victory on over the hurt. And you can turn that hurt with God's help into ways to help people. Amen. Missy Garcia sitting on the back row. Some of you know her story, some of you don't. Missy, how old were you when you were in the train wreck? Little five-year-old girl. In the car with her mama and daddy. Go across the train tracks, gets hit by a train, kills her mother and father. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm not trying to be hurtful to her. Little five-year-old girl got pulled out of that wreck, covered in her mother's and her, the blood of her mother and the blood of her father. Let me share a story with you. I love this. I love it. She comes to me 3 or 4 months ago. She's got a little piece of paper in her shaking hand. She says, Brother Jerry, I need you to see if you can help me with this. I said, what's this? She said, that's the address and the name of the conductor or the engineer that was driving the train when it hit us. And she said, I'm so worried about him. Someone told me one time that he was blaming himself. I want him to know God turned it into good. I found the Lord. I'm living a good life. I'm happy. I want him to be saved if he's not saved. Brother Jerry lives down in Sellersburg. Do you know a preacher down in Sellersburg? Yes, I do. I called Jerry Harris up and I said, I got an address for you and a story you won't believe. He said, I can't. I've told him the story. I said, I can't wait to get there. He went over there. Both those folks claimed to have received Jesus as their Savior. They had a good Christian testimony, but the man was bothered by it. And he said, you know what? It's been several years since I've been in church. Brother Jerry called me on the phone and said, listen, Brother Jerry, I think I'm going to be able to get him into my church. Are you listening to this? Are you getting this? I know it hurts. Well, Jerry, I was hoping this message would tell me how you could give me some Bible formula to keep it from hurting. It's going to hurt. I mean, you're going to wake up in the night when you think you're over it, and you know what? You're going to find out you're not over it. You're going to be in the house cleaning or driving down the road in a car, and all of a sudden you're going to have to pull over. You know why? Because you thought you were over it, and you're not over it. It's never going to stop hurting. But the hurt doesn't have to hurt. The hurt can help. I talked to a lady. Oh, no, I talked to a preacher this week. Get this. You know, it's about time we think we got it rough. Get this. There's ladies all over this room. You know what? At some point in their life, they went through a failed marriage. And many times, no fault of their own. And you know what? That hurts. That hurts. I was talking to this preacher on the phone this week, and he said, I got to tell you a story about a lady in my church. Watch this. He said, she went to Bible college and got married. This just, boy, I tell you, you better pray, young people. Went to Bible college, met a guy, got married to this guy that she met in Bible college. 3 years after they were married, she found out he had a secret life and he left her and went and joined the homosexual gay community. Ladies, you think that hurt? Watch this. After a couple years, she remarries. 8 years she's with this husband. He's killed in a car wreck. Now it's her and 5 children from these 2 marriages. This is what this preacher said. Brother Jerry, that lady has the sweetest spirit of any woman in our church. That lady is the example of everything a Christian servant ought to be in front of my people. That lady loves God. That lady serves on a bus route. That lady ministers in our children's ministry. That lady volunteers for anything I know. You know, say, Brother Jerry, it's because she,
She figured out a way to keep from hurting. No, she kept figured out a way to keep the hurt from hurting.
Now, devil, let me just say this. You just need to look old somebody face in the eye and say, listen, God allowed you to touch me. God allowed you to hurt me. But you know what? I'm not going to let that hurt others. And I'm not going to let that hurt me. I'm going to turn that hurt into... It doesn't mean I'm never going to weep. It doesn't mean I'm never going to cry. It doesn't mean I'm never going to have a hard time. But I'm going to figure out a way to take that hurt and turn it into a way to help other people. Number 6, use your hurt to help others. Number 7, responding properly to hurt causes the healing process to begin. When you start understanding the hurt, when you refuse to blame God, when you decide that if you're going to retaliate, I'm going to retaliate at Satan. When you decide to care for others, when you decide to determine not to allow the hurt to hurt others, when you decide that you're going to use your hurt instead to help others, I promise you that somewhere in the middle of all that, there's some healing that takes place. And God gives you the grace to go forward. Are you hurting? Are you hurting? Some of you are. Are you hurting? Are you going to let the hurt hurt? Or are you going to let the hurt help?
Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord,
speak to our hearts.
We need your help, Lord. We live in a world where there's a lot of horrible things happening. Lord, Satan is truly the prince and power of the air. Lord, we look forward to heaven. I pray for, Lord, the members of our congregation, Lord, that are going through some tough times right now. Lord, and I in no way belittle the hurt. I know it's real. But I pray, Lord, that you'd give them strength and help. I pray, Lord, that even now you'd come along beside them and whisper in their heart, whisper in their ear, and let them know that you've always been there. You always will be there. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would allow ourselves to be made better because of the things that you allow to come into our life, not bitter, that you'll help us, Lord, in this matter of deciding that we are going to, instead of letting hurt cause misery, we're going to turn it into a ministry. Lord, I pray that you'd do some healing even now this morning.